Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Gills Fancast. It's been a positive week and a half for Steve Evans, having seen his team respond to the home humiliation against Rotherham with a four-match unbeaten run. A credible second-half showing at the Stadium of Light saw a replay secured against Sunderland, and a trio of home wins followed. Tottenham under-21s were first to be defeated at Priestfield in the EFL Trophy, for a controlled league victory was earned against Lincoln City. Finally, Tuesday night saw us progress into round two of the FA Cup as we saw off Sunderland at the second attempt, making it three wins and three clean sheets in the space of 7 days at home. Joining me is Owen Stanley as we look at the recent upturn in form before turning our focus onto Saturday's trip to AFC Wimbledon. Owen, yeah, you okay?
Yeah, not bad. It's been a very, very positive week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Very positive month, really, actually.
Yeah, so yeah, we've got plenty to cover. We'll start on probably the least relevant topic, so to speak. We'll gloss over very quickly that we did play Tottenham in the leasing.com trophy, I think they call it now. We won't bore people with it because I don't think people actually care about the competition.
I went to one game. I went to the Colchester one.
Oh, did you? We lost 3-2?
I don't know why I went. I just did.
So, yeah, it was a game that there was nothing for us to gain. There was nothing for us to lose. We was already out.
As irrelevant as it is, you don't want to finish bottom of your group, do you?
So. No, and we've done like, and obviously we got smashed by these last season, so
yeah.
Progress was a fact. But I suppose it was an opportunity for certain people to get some minutes under their belt and maybe play their way into Evans' thinking.
Yeah, it was obviously good for those people. Also very good. Jack Tucker got his first professional goal, didn't he, in the second half of that header. And there's a lot of players who haven't played recently, the likes of Marshall, Cisse. Who else there? Jordy started, didn't he?
Yeah, obviously Walsh played, first clean sheet.
Walsh, yeah, our £4 million goalkeeper.
Yep.
Jakubiak got a goal. Who else played? I'm not really too sure on the lights, but I didn't really pay too much attention to it, in all honesty. But yeah, Hodgson must have played, didn't he?
Yep.
Garmston played.
Yeah.
Garmston now leading the Comms Trophy over. It's probably a season done.
Yep.
But no, it's as I say, you don't want to finish bottom of the group, regardless of how important or not important the competition is. And I think, especially when you've got a under 21 side from Premier League, and you don't really want to be finishing below a team with kids. And I think, you know, with the group we had, Ipswich, it's always going to be tough. Colchester, we should really have won, but as I say, it's not the biggest deal. And I think the best thing to come out of it is, you know, a home win, clean sheet, Jack Tucker getting his first goal, the Kubiak getting the goal, which he's needed for a while. And, you know, ultimately, Evans has said it a lot of time, that these games are basically just for players who haven't been playing to get minutes, which is the most important thing. It's not really about the result. Obviously, we wanted to win, and we did. Which is good, but yeah, there's not too much to talk about. Just we didn't finish bottom, so that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's as much as we need to speak about that game, that competition, whatever you want to call it. So we'll move on to the more important stuff. So last Saturday, Lincoln in the league. We won 1-0. And yeah, it was certainly a well-earned win, wasn't it? And one that we very much deserved, didn't we, across the 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think we made it a bit more difficult than we needed to by not scoring another two or three. But yeah, we got the job done. I was really happy for Mandron to get his goal. Really well taken finish, to be fair to him. And he bullied their defence evening now, isn't it? Getting dark. And yeah, we dominated the game for large periods of it. I don't really remember them having a clear cut chance until that Tyre Walker header, if you could even call that clear cut.
What, the one Bonham saved?
Yeah.
It looked straight at him.
Yeah, obviously it's different from where we are on the Rainerman to where it actually is. That Kinde header flashed wide, but other than that, I don't think they caused any problems at all. And you do always get those feelings when it's only 1-0 with 5 minutes left, thinking with all the chances we've had, oh, we're going to let it slip. But no, we defended really well for what we had to defend, which in truth wasn't too much. And as I say, we should have really scored a couple more. I remember, you know, Han had a few half chances.
Yep.
Mandrell's obviously hit the bar, had a free header that's gone over, which he should score. These created opportunities, and that's probably the highlight as well as Mandrell getting his goal, was how well Lee, Mandron and Hannon actually worked together all game, constantly creating chances, creating threats, and they linked up incredibly well. And I think as I say, I'm really happy for Manjot getting his goal. And, you know, in all honesty, it was a game that, you know, we should have had done by about the 60 minute mark, I think, at least 2-0 up by then. And it is sort of an idea that, you know, we still do lack that clinical finisher who, you know, if we had that, would probably have seen the game won a lot earlier on than it needed to be. We wouldn't have to be biting off fingernails with 5 minutes left. But, you know, it was, I'll say to you during the game, wouldn't it be a catastrophe if we didn't win it? And thankfully we saw it through under, as I say, next to no pressure from the opposition, in fairness. But, you know, the most important thing is a clean sheet, the win, and you can't not be happy with that, can you?
Yeah, would you say in terms of sort of controlling the game, that was probably our best league performance of the season?
I think so, yeah. I know people could say Wickham because they're top, and like, I fully respect that choice. I think that Wickham game was really good. But I think Saturday we controlled the game from start to finish. We held possession well in tight areas. We knew when to release the ball and when to hold it and when to play from the back, and picked our moments to restart attacks. And obviously when we did lose the ball, we were really compact, got back into shape really quickly and won the ball back pretty much quite quickly every other time. And I think the main thing from that game in terms of control, I think we never looked in trouble at all. I think defensively we were brilliant, and on the ball we always knew where we wanted to go. We always had, when someone had the ball in the middle of the pitch, it was always either Fuller or, it was playing left back, Ogilvy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because O'Connor's not there. Yeah, making runs either side, so we always had options. I think we, as I say, with a clinical finisher, we would have had the game out of sight, but I think they didn't really have much in the game, to be honest. I know, was it their manager came out and said their performance was rubbish, which I thought was quite complimentary. Yeah, I think we just controlled the game. It was really, really enjoyable to watch the Gillingham side and not having to, well, obviously with 5 minutes, 7 really well, like, we do get those slight worries, but even then I didn't feel like we were under any immense pressure. You know, you expect a team when, you know, you're 1-0 down with 5 minutes to keep pumping balls into the box constantly. They didn't really do that. They sort of just had the ball in the middle of the pitch, just sideways passing, looking for, I don't know, we weren't giving them any of it. We didn't give them a sniff. And even that the only half chance side of Walker just came from really like a hit and hope cross, really, wasn't it? They got the end of it and bombs it over. And other than that, we've not been troubled at all. We think we've controlled the game from start to finish. And on another day, we win that 3 or 4-0, I think.
Yeah, which obviously the scoreline probably didn't reflect sort of the nature of our performance. But it is worth it. I know Lincoln are struggling a little bit at the moment. I think they're probably having a little bit of a hangover from the Cowleys leaving and sort of a crossover between them leaving, Appleton coming in. I think there's a change of style that they're trying to put across, and it's probably affecting them a little bit. But they still have players out there that on their day can hurt you at any given moment. And
scored on paper, you'd say arguably is better than ours.
Yeah, I think
when this whole striker bid thing went along during the summer, we all hoped it might have been Tyler Walker. Obviously, it turned up we seemingly were never in for him in the first place. But you look at their team on paper, like, we were speaking before we came on, like, because Evans confirmed, didn't he? We did talk to Jack Payne.
Yeah.
And obviously, we can only afford to play people like £2.50 a month. So that was a no go. And it did nothing, did he? Didn't have any impact on the game.
No.
Bruno Andrade is a player I've rated a lot. He always seems to score a screamer here and there, and he always seems to be a really good player, along with Tyler Walker. You know, he's proven goal scorer at this level below, I should say, but he's obviously he's definitely their top scorer this season, scored a fair few goals. And like, you look at the squad on paper, I think there are, you know, players who can change games in that team, but for one reason or another they weren't up to it at all.
And no.
we controlled the game well.
And obviously in terms of the result, regardless of what the score was, the way we played, how important was it that we picked 3 points up after the last league game against Rotherham, where we was rank, weren't we, ultimately?
It's vitally important, because I remember when obviously we had the Oxford game, and that was the first game we'd been playing off the park all season. We need a response. We need the best way to get over a loss is a win. Obviously it came against Southend, which you'd expect us to win, and we did. And same thing here, tougher opponent, but we knew the only way to get over a loss is to win the next game, because if you lose back to back, it starts to emotionally toll on the players. And I don't, because they can't win it. Have we lost back to back games this year?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but we have. I know that.
I didn't think we had off the top of my head, but even so, like, best way to get over a loss is a win. And it's not just it wasn't just a smash and grab. The way we did it, we controlled the game and put in a much better performance than against Rotherham, which, you know, that I don't know what went wrong in that game. We just never seemed to be.
We just didn't start, did we?
No,
just didn't get started.
I don't think Rotherham were particularly impressive. I think we just, you know, we give them the first goal, don't we?
Yeah.
The second goal, I think Ogilvie's had a mare the old game, really, hasn't he? And it's a really smart finish over bottom. Then, you know, the third goes in when the game's already over, and it's, you know, we're not getting back into it.
And do you think this is potentially the thing with us? Because you said to me before we started recording that whenever we go 1-0 up now, you're confident we're going to win. But on the flip side, if we go 1-0 down, do you think then that we have a little bit of a struggle because we realise we've got to score twice to win a game, and we've not really got that cutting edge to do that at the moment? Because obviously, at the moment, we're a bit like 1-0 to the Gillingham, really.
Yeah,
I think most of our wins
have
been
1-0. We are literally the opposite of last season, where we were shaky at the back, but we had someone who was always going to score at the front. This year, we seem a lot better at the back, but don't have a player you'd pick out at front who you say you look at it and think, he'll get us a goal this off. And, you know, we don't have that, but I think credit to Evans is getting the best out of what we have, I'll put it that way. I think we all know that technically our strikers aren't the most gifted, you could say. I think in Jolly, I don't look at him and think he's going to score a goal. Kubak started the season, I thought we could have something here, but he's gone off the boil a lot. Hanlon works incredibly, incredibly hard. I mean, he does get his just rewards sometimes, but I think sometimes especially when he has the ball in you know, I'm trying to think about it, like there's times against Sunderland the other night where, you know, he has the ball like just wide of goal and he gets past his player and he's got a chance to shoot, but he tries to go past him again and then loses the ball, but he doesn't need to go for the second.
Whereas you see the goalie, which we'll come onto in a bit, but the goalie did score against Sunderland, just touch out of his feet and hit it, and he got his reward for it. But that's what I was going to come onto the forwards. Obviously you've touched on the importance of Mandrum getting himself a goal. Did you see some signs there on Saturday that the combination of Mandrum and Hanlon could potentially be the best one for us going forward?
Yeah, I think I texted you yesterday, didn't I, saying that should be our starting two for foreseeable future. I think he was excellent against Lincoln. I think he bullied their defenders. His height was a vital part of it. And I think, you know, he didn't play against Sunderland due to illness, but I expect him to be back for the Wimbledon game.
Yeah.
But he was... You know, he's immaculate in his performance. It was a really smart finish. Not a finish you'd expect from a big man, you could argue. But, you know, he bullied the defenders all afternoon. The link-up play, like the way he can hold up the ball for Hanlon to then run onto it. I think Lee was really important in that as well, all three of them. Lee at the top of the diamond. And Mandrum and Hanlon up front, they just worked really, really well together. And it started giving us opportunities in games that perhaps with whoever forwards playing, we haven't been able to manufacture as well. And I think it's taken a while for Mandrum to get into play. Obviously, Evan said, was it the other week, that he had a bit of a too good of a summer.
Yeah,
so you can imagine.
We wasn't that impressed when we see him in pre-season, did we? So it was a little bit surprised he signed him. But hopefully,
to be fair to him, we knew from his record he wasn't going to be a striker who's going to score loads of goals. We saw him as a striker who's going to help others get on the score sheet. And he has got one now. He's got one in the... Pointless.com trophy.
Sure, against Peterborough.
Yeah. So that's two league goals, one in a cup.
Didn't he only score two league goals last season?
No idea. I know it was below five, I think. But
because this is the thing with it. I think it's important that we don't get carried away with Mandrum, because I've seen some people saying, oh, here we go, it looks like we found the Eves replacement now and things like that. And I think it'd be unfair on him to expect him to come into the team and score a load of goals. So, I mean, I see people saying the other day, oh, well, looking at him and looking at Akindi when he come on, I'd rather have Mandrum than Akindi. And I think that's a bit of a sort of narrow-minded comment of 45 minutes, because John Akindi scored a lot of goals over the last two or three years. And I would still take John Akindi if we could sign him tomorrow.
He's great from 12 yards.
He is, yeah. But I agree with you that I think there are signs there that the two of them can work together, because we can't rely on Hanlon to do everything by himself. He's not that type of player, and he does run himself into the ground, so he is going to need help up there. And that's probably the second time I've seen Mandrum and been really, really impressed. And if he can add goals to his game, brilliant. But I think that the best use we'll get out of him is using his size well, because I think he does hold the ball up quite well. Something that I thought, the difference between him and Eves is that for a big man, Eves scored a lot of goals, but I didn't think he was that great back to goal. Whereas obviously Mandrum, I don't think he's going to be as prolific a goal scorer as Eves is, but I think he will bring others into play a little bit better than Eves. I'm hoping that, like you say, he will get over his illness in time for Saturday and we can have a sort of a settled front two, because we've started to settle the back line down a little bit now and we're reaping the rewards for that. So if we can do that up front end as well, you never know, they might hit it off and we might start scoring a few more goals. But no, we'll move on from Lincoln on to Sunderland. I'm going to cover Sunderland as one topic, two ties.
It's a good job we didn't do this podcast about Greek science. We had to talk about Sunderland three times. And possibly it could have been Wimbledon three times as well.
But yeah, obviously at the second time of asking, 1-0 at the Stadium of Light, and then Tuesday night, another 1-0 win. But yeah, over the two games, no doubt in your mind that the right team progressed.
I think when the draw came out, we all just thought, oh, bloody hell. No, Frank's Emirates, it's been fun.
Yeah.
But I think from what I read, because I wasn't there, from the reports, the first half, it seemed like we were unlucky we won a down. The second half, I was actually listening to it because it was on the, I think, Radio 5 of Extra, and it was the Newcastle, so the Sunderland, the Sunderland perspective commentary. And for the majority of the game, it just sounded like us, and they were saying like how much Sunderland were giving the ball away and how much we were counter-attacking it. It sounded like every time we went forward in the counter-attack, we just couldn't quite find that final pass. And obviously, the people can point to the goal, say it's fortuitous. It is. But I think we, by the sounds of it, and watching the replay, we did create enough chances in that second half to win the game. There was one right at the end of it when I think it was Handlin got around his man, played ball, because Boxing League just couldn't quite get there. And, you know, on another day that we wouldn't have even had to have the replay, but, you know, I think prior to the draw, if someone had offered you a replay against Sunderland at home, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
Yep.
So it's by no means a negative result. And then, obviously, we've got it done at home, so happy days.
Yeah, and did it... Obviously, this might sound a little bit of a silly question because it took us 120 minutes to get the job done, but were you surprised by just how in control we were of that game on Tuesday against a team, you know, that have got multi-million pound players in there?
I said to you during the game, like, they're just names, aren't they? They're just names that come with this, like, say, Will Grigg scored so many goals. It's just a name now. It's not the man he used to be. He's just another player. And I want to say we defended really well, but in truth, what did we have to defend, really?
But you were saying to me before the game started, you said, what really have they got to achieve coming here?
I said,
they
win.
They don't want a replay. You know, them getting to round three is no incentive because they were playing all these big teams in the Premier League 3 years ago. Whereas for us, we're up for it. We want a cup run. And they look like a team that just wanted to get on the bus and get home, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
To be fair to us, we took full advantage of it and probably should have won in 90 minutes anyway before having to extend it for the extra half an hour.
Yeah, I don't think it was a game for the highlight reel. But
no, it wasn't one blessed with chances.
I think first half was just a bit of a damp squid, wasn't it, really? And I said to you the whole game just going for extra time, and you just went, I bloody hope not. And I was like, just destined for extra time, because we had a lot of control, but we did find it hard to find that clear-cut chance. I think the closest we came was that little scramble at the end, just before the end of normal time, and Jordan and Hannon just seemed to just get in each other's way. And I was getting a bit worried, because I knew that I knew we deserved to win that game, and I just thought, if this goes to penalties and we lose out, it'd be bloody annoying, wouldn't it? And I was saying, because no respect to our players, but we've had one penalty shootout, is it this season, or have we had a couple? We've had one penalty shootout and we've had penalties in games.
Yep.
And I said, like, if I'm honest, I'm more reliant on Bonham saving them than us scoring them. And he's got a good record at that, to be fair to him. But I looked at the players on our pitch, I was like, how many of these would I expect to be a confident penalty taker? But no, I think it took longer than it should have done, but we got there eventually. And the weirdest thing for me is when we scored that goal, they still didn't look like they cared.
No, they didn't. Like, a bit like what you said about Lincoln, they didn't start throwing balls into the box, they didn't throw players forward. It was just like...
When Hannon has a ball in the corner, there's literally next to no pressure on him. No one's trying to get the ball off him.
Yeah.
Just saying, like,
but
I think we definitely should have had at least one penalty in that game as well.
I think the handball... Was it extra time or was it in the second half?
I think it was about a couple of minutes before we scored.
Yeah, I thought that was a stonewall while. And
that's when you think it's not going to be our night.
It looked like the ref looked at the linesman thinking, help me out, and the linesman wouldn't help him out, so he let it go. But how good did we defend on Tuesday?
Yeah, very good. That handball there, you see it on the highlights, it's clear as day, isn't it? It's not looking at the ball, it's his arms... He's looking one way, his arms behind him, he's hit it, and as soon as that wasn't given, I was like, it's going to be one of them, isn't it? But no, thankfully, we did get the goal. Defensively, we defended really well, but what did we have to defend?
They didn't have a shot on target.
Every time we lost possession, when we were attacking, just hoofed it straight back to us. And we was like, all right, we'll build another attack. And every attack that failed, boot the ball straight back to us. Like, okay, we go again. It was actually like a training exercise, like attack versus defence. And as you say, didn't have one shot on target, so Bonham just stood there reading the Daily Mail for 120 minutes, front to back, over.
He didn't make a save, did he?
No, didn't have to. I can remember one shot, the one Greg put wide.
Yeah.
That's literally, I think what summed them up is, I think it was the second half extra time when Tucker played a loose ball and we looked like we were going to be caught out. And McGeady had the ball in the area and we're like, oh God, here we go. And he had some player right next to me just overhits the ball out for a goal kick. Yeah. And he was like, right, well. And I want to touch on Hanlon, because I tweeted after the game, like, when they threw like a photo of him celebrating, I was like, no one deserves that goal more than he does, because he worked exceptionally hard, not just that game, the initial tie as well, worked incredibly hard. And just like we were saying earlier, when sometimes where he takes the extra two touch or does a bit more than he needs to, this time it's like no second thought, touch, bang, and he got his reward for it. And it's just like Lincoln, really. We scored with 15 minutes left in the second half extra time. I was like, we're only one up here. And I was like, oh, if we concede here, it'd be gutting. But every time they had the ball, it literally just giving it back to us every time. I thought, well, this is how you want to play, that suits us. And they obviously not having a shot on target in 120 minutes with the type of calibre players they've got, like Chris Maguire, Will Grigg, Aidan McGeady, Max Power, etc. Yeah, Duncan Watmore. We've got most of their players got taken off for the kids. I don't know, but you know, it's their issue, not ours. We're not going to do them any favour just because they're not playing well, and it wouldn't surprise me if we do the same in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and it was one for the history books. Apparently, it's the first time Sunderland have gone out in round one for 90 odd years.
Yeah.
So that's one that will always go down as little old Gillingham knocking them out. But no, in terms of us, how important do you think a cup run is in terms of everyone's bringing players in January?
Well, it'll be great to get a good little bit of Wonga from getting a third round. Hopefully, would you a televised tie?
I don't know if we get more money because we've been moved to Sunday, apparently, for BBC coverage.
For the Doncaster game.
Yeah, I don't know if we get a little bit more.
We won a Sunday for Slough last year, weren't we?
Yeah.
That's a good day. Enjoyed that. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure what it means that because we're on the Sunday,
It's a weird game to select, isn't it? It's an all league one tie. Don't know why they really. Whatever. But yeah, hopefully we can get past Doncaster, and then if we can get one of those, like, don't get me wrong, Cardiff, there's good get Premier League side, but not like a, you know,
yeah,
not one of the big hitters.
No.
Yeah, if we can get someone like a, I don't know, I'd from a selfish point of view, I'd want to be away just for the experience.
Yeah,
if we were at home, we'd almost certainly be televised if it was against one of the bigger size. Whereas if we were away to like United, Gillingham, I don't think they'd put that on at Old Trafford because they'd see it as a foregone conclusion or whatnot. But if we can get someone like, obviously the dream is one of the top six,
yeah,
top ten.
Yeah, so Sheffield United away.
Yeah. That was a good one last
time. Don't want no mid-table teams like Tottenham or anything like that.
No. That'd be an upset if they saw past us. I'd always like something like, for myself, point of view, I've always wanted to go to somewhere like Crystal Palace away or something like that. But I would like to see us, because I generally think we can, on our day, we can give anyone a game. I'm not saying we play Man City and we'd beat them, but I think we'd give them a good game. But I think the title I'd want at home is something like Arsenal, because yeah, Arsenal always have a shambles in them, don't they?
Yeah.
They always have one of them.
Yeah.
And it would be a very bad evening.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's gloss over sort of the improved form. So obviously it's three wins in a row now. We're unbeaten in four and one defeat in the last seven in all competitions. And yeah, like we touched on, the form at the back certainly improved. We're four clean sheets in the last six, which is important because we're not scoring a lot of goals. Do you think we're now really starting to see the roots of what Evans is looking for from this team?
Yeah, definitely. I think he made a comment before he joined, well, when he joined, saying that my field was too easy to play through, and I've not seen that at all this season, apart from that Oxford game, which was fun. But I think we've been top-notch defensively. Midfield, we have the perfect balance of defending and protecting the back four and also being able to create chances at the other end. It's just going forward, but I think if we can sort that problem out. Like you spoke before we came on, you said you wouldn't be surprised if you sent a couple of the loans back. I don't know if you would. because it doesn't seem like the manager to admit he was wrong on someone. But I don't know. I think we are getting to the crux of what he was trying to achieve, and he did say he wouldn't be perfect from the first game. Obviously, we as a fan group, we have a lot of impatient people. Maybe that's just because they, you know, Evans fading isn't the worst to them. I'll say that to people, like. But we are seeing the Gillingham side who, compared to last season, are a lot stronger, have a lot more hunger and a lot more desire to win, a lot more desire to keep clean sheets and see games out. And a team that you look at and think, well, I don't think we can probably beat anyone in this league, as we've, you know, proved with wins over Sunderland and Wickham, who are top of the league.
Yeah, albeit, still only lost to us.
They lost yesterday.
Yes, FA Cup. Yeah. They're only league leagues to us.
I suppose that was 120 minutes as well. So.
And do you think that Evans virtually knows his best team now?
I think so.
Because for a while I thought he's still shifting people around and he isn't really sure of what the best formula is. Whereas now,
I think our midfield's been the same for a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think going up forward, I think he'll. I think his best team in his eyes is the team that started against Lincoln.
Yeah. So he's getting, obviously defensively, we've been fairly consistent for a little while now. Obviously Fuller's come back from injury, but the crux of it is staying the same. And I want to talk about a couple of individuals briefly. One of them is defensively Jack Tucker. How good has he been this season?
He's in first class. How old is he again? 18, 19?
He's 19.
God, he's younger than me. Jesus. yeah, he's been brilliant. He's been top class. I think there was a lot of reservations where he first came into the team when he was playing. Was it Bristol Rovers his first? Yeah, Bristol Rovers away when I think it was Fuller got injured.
Yeah,
he had to come
right
back.
Yeah.
And people, oh no. By all accounts, he's played brilliantly since then. He's not really put a foot wrong. And Evans has admitted in the press that he's had calls from higher teams about him and Joe Walsh. And I wouldn't be surprised, because he's going to be a talent for us. And to our credit, as a club, we are good at finding players like that. I know Tucker's gone through our youth. Dak came through our youth. Brian Bertrand, players like that. Egan come out of nowhere, really. He's playing Premier League football. We are good at picking up players like that. And I think Jack is, for me, the starter in this team now. He's solidified it. I wouldn't drop him unless, you know, he's injured or whatever and you have no choice. But I think his future at the club is going to be very good. I don't know how long he'll be here for, because, you know, if we get a good offer, you know, can't really say no to it. But I think he's been top class, and I think he's been very impressive for his age. And I think that, what was it, Evan said after Lincoln games, that his toughest test would be kind of against Akinde, and he handled it really well. I think Aimer took Akinde dancing for about a brief period and got a yellow card, but Tucker was just been brilliant. It's really great to see that we have these youngsters who are capable of getting straight into this team and proving their worth. And I think he definitely will have a big future ahead of League One, Championship, maybe in Premier League.
Yeah, because he's made 14 appearances in all competitions this season. If before the season started, someone said to you that in mid-November Tucker would have played 14 games, would you have been surprised?
Yeah, because I didn't see our defence changing much from the start. I always thought it'd be Aimer, Ogilvy, Fuller, O'Connor when he arrived. Yeah. And we hadn't changed that for a while. And then obviously enforced injury to Fuller at Bristol Rovers brought Tucker in, and he's not done anything to be dropped since then. Too right, he should be playing every game right now because he deserves to be. And I think we all have our opinions on Aimer, but I'd say this season he's been very good.
He has been good. And the thing with Tucker, might be a little bit of a controversial thing to say, and I could be wrong, but I don't think this would have happened under the previous management in terms of him playing like this, because I think Zakuani would still be here now if Lovell was still in charge, which obviously means he would have been behind him, would have been behind Aimer, would have been behind Zakuani. And I think Evans deserves credit, not just for putting him in, but for actually, in pre-season, after the first couple of friendlies, he said, this kid is special. And it's not like a lot of managers where they'll talk about youngsters saying, yeah, they're really good, and then never play them. He's put actions to his words, put them in the team, and not just Evans, not just Tucker, but the team are reaping the rewards for it. And the football club could then reap the rewards of it, like you say, in time, if we make money on it.
Yeah, you're right. I think we would still have a lot of the players we let go. If Love was still, we would probably have Burke and Billy King working.
Still be here.
Billy King and Burke working as stewards or something, just in the ground hanging about. But I think it sounds weird considering the difference in experience, but I think Tucker's performances are getting the best out of the runs around him. Aymar Ogilvy, I think, stepped the level up. And Aymar especially, I think, has been very good this season, apart from a few hiccups here and there. But for the amount of stick he gets, from me included, I will say, he has been very good this season. But I think Tucker is definitely a big standout this season. I think he will play above our level, which, you know, as disappointing as it is if he has to leave eventually, if we can get some good money out of him, then no, you can't complain. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't wrap up Young Player of the Year this year.
Yeah, I'd have thought he's nailed on for that already. Yeah, lastly on Jack, 4 wins, 4 clean sheets in his last 5 games. Not a bad little stat for him.
Yeah, keeping the team.
But yeah, moving on to the other player I want to talk about a little bit. Moving into midfield, Stuart O'Keefe. I think he's really, really stepped up a level the last few games. Don't know about you.
It's weird, isn't it? Because when we started the season, we all thought our two main midfielders would be him and Usise, the king. And they've gone in very different trajectories, haven't they?
Yeah.
O'Keefe, I must admit, at the start of the season, O'Keefe wasn't impressed with me that much, but he's pulled his socks up and he's been fantastic ever since Cisse sort of just disappeared. But I think O'Keefe has been brilliant, especially in his last few games. The way he controls, he's got such a good footballing brain, if you know what I mean. He knows, when he's got the ball in midfield, he knows when to hold it, when to let go, when to play the right pass. He knows, he's aware of everyone around him and when to do certain things. And I think he is, another good thing about him actually is he does add goals to his game. I think he's now a penalty taker, isn't he?
Yeah, I thought so.
And he's capable of scoring the odd goal here and there, like against Southend. And I think he will be a big player for us. There was talk about other clubs, he had an attitude problem. For me, he seems like he wants to be here and he wants to play. I still would have made him captain.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, I think Stuart O'Keefe is the type of player that epitomises everything Steve Evans wants in one of his players, in terms of, like you say, it's leadership, it's desire, it's passion, it's work rate, as well as being a pretty talented footballer as well.
When I spoke to Ian Holloway at the EFL launch back in August, he was talking to me about Stuart O'Keefe, and he said that he's a very Steve Evans type player, and he will put a foot in where nobody else will put a foot in.
And it's true. It's true, and I think Chelsea fans do love a player that gets stuck in. And I think there was an example Tuesday night in the second half where a Sunderland player had the ball and he went steaming across and won the tackle, and all he did was put it out for a throw-in, but all of a sudden the crowd lifted and the atmosphere lifted, because people want to see things like that.
What's a lot of things we complained about last year, when a lot of our players had a 50-50 and they thought, oh, I'll leave that actually.
Yeah, and you know Stuart is never ever going to do that, and I think he's a guaranteed starter every week at the moment, isn't he?
I think our whole midfield set at the minute.
I do. But before we come on to Saturday, I briefly want to talk about something that emerged over the last couple of days. There was an interview done with Adrian Pennock, which was quite interesting, quite staggering, revealing, whatever words you want to use about it. And with some of the stuff that's come out in terms of him being given Justin Edinburgh's training kits, to him giving the chairman and Peter Taylor 3 tiers of players he wanted and being told you can't have any of them, to being spat at by supporters and things like that, do you now feel a little bit sorry for him in terms of how his tenure went?
I feel sorry for him as a person, not as a manager, if that makes sense.
Well, what you're trying to say is that it's poor, but he wasn't a good enough manager anyway.
He wasn't a good enough manager, I don't think anyone can argue that, but no matter your capacity or however good or bad you are at a job, no one deserves to be treated the way he has been personally, and I think that's not on at all. And I think it's something we've had throughout a lot of managers, not particularly to that extent, but you know, like we get it now with Evans, people don't like him, call him out for being obese and whatever. We've had it with other managers, once things have gone wrong, the abuse starts flying in. But you know, to do something like that, it's just, you're not a Gillingham fan if you do something like that at the end of the day. I've said so many times, I didn't enjoy him as a manager, and I just thought he was never the right man. And part, in fairness to him, part of that blame needs to go on Scully. It's all his decisions. You know, when after that game at Northampton, I think we all thought, right, we've stayed up and he's going to go now. And he got a job, and we were just like, oh God. And then, what's he gone, like 3 months later or something like that? I was like, yeah. And was it you told me that something when he came in to be given the job, and Peter Taylor was there, right?
Yeah, and he didn't know.
And this was just before pre-season started. He didn't know he was getting the job. And sort of, and obviously looking at the season before, he said that, obviously in the January, he had to chase Bons and Gallo around trying to get him to tear the contract up. And he said that...
Just listening to the Benny Hill soundtrack.
Yeah. And there was a game where we'd lost and we'd let three goals in and the same player was at fault for three. And he showed him a video and the player went, "Gaffer, I don't like heading the ball." And then you look at it like that and you have to ask yourself, how did we stay up that season?
It was a season I never want to relive, I'll tell you that. I think that game at Northampton summed up everything that was wrong with that season. That second half when we were playing for a point is the most mind-boggling thing I've ever seen in a lot of years. And we stayed up. I said it at the time, I'll say again, we stayed up because Port Vale couldn't beat Fleetwood.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is exactly why.
Because if we're playing for a point, gets the 90th minute, Port Vale scored injury time, we've got 30 teams left. Right,
yeah,
that's that. I don't know what it was. Because I think I agree. It's a bit of a mismatched team that, wasn't it? We had players who knew they weren't going to be here for a lot, like Zesha Raymond, who not going to say he was a bad player, did anything wrong, but he knew he wasn't going to be here for a long time. So if he did go down, it's not really going to affect him that much, mate. And we also had the players like Cody and Wright, who were very much Gillingham players. Cody and Wright, especially considering they've been here in the past, and we knew they cared. Who else did we have that year? Nelson, obviously, very much Jill's man. Got a nod for that game ahead of Holy. And I think I did get the idea that there were players that didn't want to be there, and it was a very mishmash team that just didn't ultimately wasn't good enough to survive that season. And by all accounts, we shouldn't have really. We got off the hook due to Fleetwood doing us a favour at the end of the day. And I think that, as I said at the start of this, when you asked me, that I don't think any form of abuse towards any manager in that manner especially is warranted. It's disgusting, it's stupid, and it should never be associated with Gillingham Football Club. But I don't particularly think he was ever going to be a good enough manager for us. And I think results showed that. I can't think of many instances where I enjoyed a game under Pennock. And I think the problem is it would have been a not much easier and subtle ending if he had just gone after that Northampton game.
No, yeah, I'd go along with that. And the sort of the overriding feeling that I took from listening to him was that the club was in a bit of a state at the time, and fortunately it seems like we've come out the other side of that now and we are a bit more stable, because I would think that if sort of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes then was still going on now, I don't think Steve Evans would have come in. So I think hopefully that's a sign that things are on the up. But we'll finish on sort of back on the pitch matters. Saturday, AFC Wimbledon away. Confident we can carry a good form on?
I think so. The thing is, Wimbledon, I hate playing them because they're such a dodgy team. They're either really bad or can be quite decent. And obviously they've got like the Gillingham B team now, haven't they? So, you know, it's literally like a training session from last year. I think we'll win. I think we'll have a bit too much. We've obviously got the confidence from the recent run of results that Evans won't want that form and that performance level to slip. He won't want it to drop, and we'll have to keep sustaining those levels. It might be a bit difficult for some players who've just played under 20 minutes in a week in terms of fatigue, which is why I would make a few changes. But yeah, I think I don't see why we can't go there and get a win.
Yeah, in terms of at the moment they're winless in six games. They sit 20th on the table.
You sure? Winless in six? I swear they beat Lincoln at home just like a few weeks ago.
No, winless in six. But in terms of us, a win could climb us into the top half of the table.
Oh, they drew. Sorry.
But yeah, if we win, we'll probably be in the top half of the table. And in mid-November, we're sitting in the top half.
Yeah.
What's the problem with our season?
Yeah, it'd represent a good start to the season. And we should argue we'd still be above that anyway, considering the games we've...
The 2-0 leads.
Yeah. Well, it's what it is with that. But I think it's definitely an opportunity for us to continue a run. It's a favourable game. It's a game where, you know, in the past we've had Mayors away from them, but then last season we had a really positive result, and I think we will be able to go there and get a good result. They've obviously got a couple of dangerous players. Joe Piggott's obviously a renowned scorer at this level, we all know what he can do, and he'll be a dangerous player. But I think going forward we'll have a bit too much from. We obviously have players we're familiar with from them. Obviously they have players they're familiar with from our team, like O'Neill will obviously know everyone, Riley will know everyone if he even plays, I don't know. And obviously a lot of crux of our squad will know everyone, but I would make a few changes.
So what would you do in terms of the team? especially in terms of the defence. Well, we have been good, and we did play really well Tuesday in terms of keeping Sunderland out without them.
O'Connor's back now, isn't he?
Yes, and O'Connor can. And this is the question that I put a poll out on Twitter earlier asking if people would keep the same back four as Tuesday, whether they'd bring O'Connor back. 77% said they'd keep the same defence as Tuesday. Would you go along with that, or would you make a change in there?
I'd make one change and take Fuller out for Hodgson. The sole reason being, he's played how many minutes in the past week and he's 35 years old.
It is a fair argument.
And I don't want him to come up against if he comes up against Pacey Winger 45 minutes in the game, his legs start to go, and then you've got to waste a sub on a defender, haven't you? And it's not really ideal. And Hodgson would be fresh as anything. He hasn't played a lot of games. I think he'd be capable. I don't want to say I'm going to keep Ogilvie at left back, but I'm not going to take Tucker out.
No, and Ogilvie, to be fair, he's played better at left back the last two games than what he looked previously, didn't he? But in terms of the midfield, same four.
One change.
Make one change.
I would keep it as Jones, Byrne, O'Keefe, and then take out Lee for Pringle.
For Pringle? Okay, and I would go similar. I would
and then Hanlon and Mandron up front.
I would take Lee out for Charles Cook. And Mandron. I need a last question for you. Score prediction.
We'll keep a clean sheet because it's what we do now. So I think I'd say goal either half, 2-0.
What was in my mind?
Mandron and O'Keefe penalty.
I'll go Hanlon and. Yeah, we're doing another penalty. O'Keefe penalty. I'll go along with that. So that's all from us from tonight. Let's hope that the good form will continue at the weekend. Thanks, Rowan, for joining me. And lastly, up Jills.